live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
When my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio.
Good.
De Janeiro, Mau Mio. I go wild and then I have to do the samba.
It's Lochte Gate, live from Rio. Was Ryan Lochte robbed or wasn't he? And how many robbers were there? Oh, we have many questions. Jim Ryan, ABC News. Jim, what do we know? What do we not know?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, how many robbers were there? What time did this happen? How many guns were involved? It's awfully tangled up. That's what the police are trying to get to the bottom of. The police here in Rio de Janeiro, they went to a judge yesterday and asked for for paperwork and for an order to get these guys, these four American swimmers, to stay in the United States while the investigation is underway. The judge approved that. Police went to the village yesterday. Lochte's already back in the United States. But the other two apparently were still here in the country. And last night, Jack Conger and Gunnar Bentz were at the airport about to board their flight through Houston and then on to points beyond. And the police came to them and said, you're not going anywhere. You need to talk with us. And that's what they did for several hours. Investigators, again, trying to untangle this complicated story of the robbery that is supposed to have happened on Sunday.
All right, so the Brazilian authorities have gotten very serious very quickly about this. Are they going under the assumption the whole thing's made up?
Yeah, it's hard to say. They don't know. That's the thing. Whether it was made up or whether there was some emendation going on there that we just don't know. But I think they want to get it's embarrassing to them, of course, because the Brazilians wanted to put on a problem-free Olympics, and here are some high-profile Americans, Ryan Lochte, a medalist, getting robbed. It's a black eye to the reputation of the country, so I think that's why they are so interested in untangling all of this.
Pulling the two swimmers off the plane makes them look like the criminals, not the victims. Is that a matter of local law, or could you do that here?
Well, yeah, they weren't quite on the plane yet. They presented their passports inside the airport, and that's when the cops came over and took them into custody. But at the same time, it makes Conger and Benz look like the criminals, but it makes the Brazilians look awfully heavy-handed when these 20-something swimmers are being held against their will, missing their flight and everything else, passports seized, we assume, so that they can't leave the country.
Amongst the stories that are out there is that their wallets were taken, and yet there's security videos where they re-enter the village, and it looks like they're doing what we all do when we clear security. They're picking up their wallets out of the bins after they clear security. So have they answered that at all?
I've looked at that several times. It's either a wallet or it's a phone. You know, because the story initially was that they took our money. They took $400, 400 reyes from Lochte and but left them with their phones and their credentials, their Olympic credentials. So if they had their phones, that wouldn't contradict the initial stories. If they had their wallets, then it certainly would.
Jim, if there are found to be discrepancies in their stories, in other words, there was one robber as opposed to four, could they be charged there, or would they stay in the United States and face charges?
No, that's the real issue here. If they filed a false report, that carries some serious consequences here in Brazil. I think that it's 6 months up to a couple of years in jail for doing something like that. So they may have been a crime committed that had nothing to do with a robbery, but had more to do with filing a police report. And if that's the case, why on earth, what would they have been doing that would have been so serious that they would need to make up this elaborate story? We don't know.
Yeah, and the TMZs of the world and the people that go out and pay for these kind of stories, I'm sure, are scouring every corner in Rio trying to find people to talk about this. So where's the mysterious cabbie?
That's another question. The police, they're looking for witnesses, they're looking for the cab driver, and they're looking for a straight story out of the supposed victims in this whole thing. And so far, they haven't come up with much. In fact, on Sunday, they didn't know about the guys, the swimmers, didn't make a report to the police. Police heard about it from social media.
How big a buzz is this in the Olympic Village?
It is some buzz, at least among the Americans. I think everybody else is concerned about trying to get tickets to see Usain Bolt run tonight. There is an Olympic game going on here, believe it or not. But he'll run in the 200-meter final along American LaShawn Merritt. He'll be in lane 5, so we'll see what happens with those guys tonight.
What if we had Lochte line up next to Usain Bolt, but Lochte's chased by police? Do you think his time would be
good? Oh, that's good. I don't know. I mean, he's the only one who medaled here. None of the other three were medaled at all. I think they were robbed.
All right, Jim. Well done. Jim Ryan, ABC News. Thank you, sir. And we will keep an eye on this stupid story as the day goes on. Look, Dave would happily admit this, being a grown man. And Mike, you can chime in as well. But the fact is, any group of guys, whether it's a bachelor party or maybe you played nine extra holes of golf, there has been a conversation in your life at some point where you've said, okay, we got to get our story straight. And everybody's got to tell the same story. And 99.9% of the time, it's nothing. It's just like, okay, we didn't play nine extra holes of golf. We did this or that. As opposed to just going home and telling the truth and taking a little grief and moving on. So is it possible, since Ryan Lochte said we were afraid we were going to get in trouble because we didn't know if it, you know, we came back at 7 o'clock in the morning or 4 or whatever they're claiming, and we thought we might get in trouble. Is it possible this whole thing got out of hand because they were just making up a story about why they were late getting back?
That could be.
Very, very possible.
I mean, we're not talking about Einstein here. We're talking about Ryan Lochte.
Right.
I mean, it sort of has the feel of something that started as a fairly... spur of the moment, okay, let's just say this, and now it's snowballed completely out of control.
Right.
But they're not going to extradite Ryan Lochte, are they, for this?
Well, no, because we have, you know, we have to have a certain number of stupid people in America at all times just to keep the balance up.
I can't let him out.
We can't lose Lochte.
Yeah. seems like we got enough.
He seems like a really nice guy. But have you heard him?
We have not inducted anyone into stupid camp in a while.
Oh, they're all going in. Yeah, they're all going in. And their names are perfect, too, right? It's like Zippy and Jimmy and Scooter and Lochte.
Haven't they been nominated for the Stupid Camp Hall of Fame?
Yeah, oh, based on this? Sure.
It's hard to get into that.
Sure. We had some good stories at the Olympics, too, that almost took a back seat to this, including three American women winning in the 100-meter hurdles.
Yeah.
First, second, and third.
But didn't you think at some point there was going to be some story in these Olympics that would overshadow the results?
If we get out of Rio, where this is the biggest scandal, that's a win.
Right.
That's a huge win.
Mm-hmm. So. Not for the United States, though. We thought the biggest story would be the dirty water or something
awful
about the game.
Apparently we made all that up. I tell you, a doctor, and it wasn't Dr. Most, but another doctor who I know told me that the people that swam in that water, boated in that water, he said, don't expect them to get sick right away. He goes, that type of thing can be dormant for weeks, if not months.
Oh, it's
yeah. Somebody going to keep track of the health of all the athletes, you know, months after this thing?
Dr. Lochte.
Lochte is,
Dr. Lochte.
That's his punishment.
Somebody really needs to keep on that, you know, to see if the green water has an effect or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The open water swimmers especially. And the triathletes, they haven't had the triathlon yet either.
Yeah, when is that? It's the last event or something?
I think it's almost the last event. Yeah. The marathon is the last event.
Yesterday, I was going on and on about how the order was wrong of the Olympic Games and, you know, they front-loaded all the good stuff. And then my daughter pointed out, yeah, they do this for every Summer Olympics.
Yeah. You just don't watch the games regularly.
Same order. It's the same order. Oh,
to me, track and field is the best event. So I'm good. I'm good with it.
Well, you runner, you.
Yeah.
What to see, what's out at the show, I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on GM's Cochrane Show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Good morning, Nick DiGiulio.
Morning.
How you doing, bud?
I'm okay.
Were you with Ryan Lochte?
No, I was not. I steered clear of all of that scandal.
Yeah, so you say. We're looking at you. We're watching you. We're investigating.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to get on that plane I'm leaving on soon. Or?
Exactly.
Uh-oh.
So you're going to see Maria Bamford on Friday. And are you fairly new to the Maria Bamford fandom?
No. I love her. I've loved her for years.
She's a complete whack job. She's very, very, very funny. I think she's from Minnesota.
I think you're right. I think you're right on that. And you know, she's playing at the Athenaeum. She's got a gig at the Athenaeum tomorrow night, and I'm very excited. And I have to say that her show, Lady Dynamite on Netflix, is one of the best shows I've seen all year. One of the funniest, most original, and as you said, completely insane TV shows. And I've loved her stand-up for many years, but if people have Netflix, look for Lady Dynamite, one of the most original and crazy comedies you'll see.
Pearl Jam on Saturday for you as well?
I am, as long as I can.
You know how old you are, right? I mean, this is a big weekend for you. Are you taking your meds?
Yeah, no, I'm good. And I particularly, here's the thing about going to Pearl Jam. I chose seats where I wouldn't have to walk up any stairs or ramps. I am on the aisle because of my prostate, you know. So I've planned this all out.
Wait, Sandberg. Yes, Sandberg.
So we're going on Saturday as well.
Going to Pearl Jam with you.
No. My husband and I.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
And we're going with David Kaplan and friends.
How are you?
Yes, and yeah. They have some crazy plan of, well, we're going to be at Arlington with you during the day anyway, but of meeting at 3:30 and going down and drinking from 4:30 until 7:30. I'm like, do you guys know you're like all almost over 50?
Yeah, come on. Who are you kidding?
Cap's big drink, though, is like a cake vodka with a little umbrella.
It's a Shirley Temple.
It's true.
So maybe I'll run into you, Nick.
I won't be drinking.
We're going to be meeting there at 7:30. I can't do 3 hours of pre-party for us.
Actually, the Red Cross is stationed near all of your seats in case any of you go down. Actually, here's what's going to happen. About 2 hours into the concert, I can't hear the music with all these damn kids.
It's too loud.
Yeah. And this is the first concert I've been to in a really long time. It's just that I'm a big Pearl Jam fan, and I've never seen them at Wrigley. And I thought, yeah, you know what? I'll be the chaperone. What the hell? You know.
By the way, make advanced plans. Fight Club September 6th is Nick's next movie. We'll talk more about that on Tuesday. But let's run through the movies of the weekend you think people ought to see.
Well, you know, I haven't seen them. There's only one that I'm looking forward to, and that's Kobu and the Two Strings. This is from the Laika animation studios. They're responsible for really beautiful, amazing animated films like Coraline, Paranorman, and the Box Trolls. And the thing that they do that's striking and beautiful and amazing is that there's no computer animation in these films. They create the little movement. It takes, you know, they move every figure one at a time, take a shot, do it again, take another shot of it, and do it again. To get 30 seconds of film in one of these movies, 30 seconds takes a month to do 30 seconds of film.
It's got it's great discipline as far as artistry goes, but, you know, with my ADD, I'd quit in the first week on this movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, they do have a huge group of talent working on different scenes at the same time. But, you know, each of these movies takes about 4 years to make. And on top of the beautiful artistry, I mean, the animation is some of the most beautiful animation that you'll see in movies today. But on top of that, they've got great writers, they've got great directors, and they get great voice talent. I mean, this is a really special animation studio that cares as much about the quality of the animation as they do about the story that they tell. And so that's the film that I'm really looking forward to this weekend. That's the one that I can't wait to see.
There's a new Ben-Hur?
Can you believe this, man?
They remade Ben-Hur?
That's horrific to even think of that.
Why would you remake Ben-Hur?
I don't know, but here's the you want a couple of cappers on this one?
Yeah.
First of all, Morgan Freeman is in it, and I officially think the word no is not in his vocabulary anymore.
Well, I think I've jumped the shark.
Wow, that was good, man.
Yeah. Especially him with dreadlocks. He just doesn't look
good. Yeah, right.
Oh. But so this is a remake of Ben-Hur. I mean, that sentence alone is ridiculous. But it's directed, get this, if you're going to remake Ben-Hur, you want the director of Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter to do it.
Oh, my God, please.
Here's another thing. On the commercials for this ridiculousness, they're pulling quotes from I don't know where, like bloggers and stuff. And one of the quotes that, you know, you got to see this movie. It's amazing. One of the quotes said, it's Gladiator meets the Fast and the Furious.
Oh, my God. So, why? Why?
I don't know, man. I have no idea. When I first heard about this, when I first saw the a teaser trailer, I swear to God, I thought it was a joke. I said, well, this is a joke. This is like an SNL thing. And it's real. It's stunning.
Maybe they'll just show it Saturday night instead of SNL. And then War Dogs, starring Miles Teller and how am I forgetting the main star? Miles Teller.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah, and Jonah Hill's a nice guy. I never understood how he became a star. But anyway, Jonah Hill, who's a pretty good actor in certain things, and Miles Teller, who is unbelievable in
Whiplash.
In Whiplash. Yeah. This story supposedly is based on a true deal about a little known law where you could actually figure out a way to sell arms overseas, and
That's
these
right.
guys went nuts and they actually did it. Has this got any shot at being good?
I don't think so, because when one of the most horrifying sentences in the human vernacular is from the director of the Hangover trilogy.
You know what he should do? He should just go from the director of the first Hangover when we all thought it could work.
So I don't see sophisticated political satire coming from the guy who directed the three Hangover movies.
Yeah, you're probably
I don't know. That's just me. But the trailers look pretty awful. Bradley Cooper is a producer on it and makes a cameo in it. So Bradley Cooper was in all three of those Hangovers, so he must have had a good time making those movies with the director Todd Phillips.
Honestly, if you look at Jonah Hill, God bless him, but if you look at Jonah Hill and you think, I'm going to suspend any measure of disbelief here, but I'm going to drop Jonah Hill in the world's most dangerous terrorist lands, how long do you think he'd actually live? 5 minutes? 4 minutes?
Maybe.
Three minutes?
Maybe. Yeah. As long as Ben-Hur is in the theaters, that's how long he'd last.
Nick, you on the radio tonight?
I am, sir. And guess what? Steve and Johnny are going to be guests at 2 a.m.
All right, excellent. That's Nick DiGilio, and Ask for Him by Name. Big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
643. Dave, any update on the Ryan Lochte story?
Not in the last 20 minutes.
Okay. Any other Olympic athletes claiming they were robbed?
No.
So no get in trouble at home?
Nobody else.
We have in studio, the Air and Water Show starts this weekend, and we have was talking to these guys in the green room, and I apparently have confused two events, because if you listen to Roe's show, Violetta's jumping out of an airplane on Sunday. This is what you and I were offered?
Yes.
And I generally subscribe to the George Carlin theory, don't jump out of a plane if it's not broke.
Right.
But I suggested that our guests actually take Violetta or Ro or both of them up and just toss them out of what they're flying.
That's not a bad idea.
So let's say hi to the Golden Knights who are here. And lean into those microphones, guys, if you would.
You guys. Yes, how you doing? We're actually not the Golden Knights. We're the F-35 Heritage Team.
Well, apparently, I am just fact-filled this
That's
morning,
okay.
aren't I?
The Golden Knights are great, too, though.
All right, so let's start with you guys, since they're not here. That seems to be the right play by me. Starting with you, sir. First off, didn't you tell me you weren't going to talk? You were going to put it all on these guys.
I know. I had to correct the record, though.
Yeah, that's right. Step it in. Introduce you and your friends here.
Well, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Matt Hassan, the public affairs officer for the F-35 Heritage Team. And these guys are the brains. They actually, the maintenance team, Senior Master Sergeant Sam Smith. Sam?
How you doing, sir?
And we've got Staff Sergeant Nick Messinger. He's one of our maintainers for the F-35.
Tell me about the plane.
It's a great plane. It's the latest F-35 stealth fighter. The aircraft is going to be the future of the Air Force.
And how many do we have currently? And can I take one home for the weekend?
For the weekend, I don't think so.
No. Well, you guys are going to be busy this weekend anyway, right? It's probably a bad weekend to ask. How long have you been working on it?
I've been on the aircraft for about 18. I've been in the Air Force for about 18 years. Been on the aircraft for about 6 years. Sergeant Mercenary has been on the aircraft for about 3 years.
Yep.
What's special about it that you can tell me without having to kill me?
Well, we could tell you a lot about it. It's fifth generation, which means that it has stealth capabilities. Can see it, but
Ryan Lochte could have used stealth capabilities, right? Mm-hmm. No luck there. So you can't see it.
Yes, sir. So, but the other aircraft, when it's flying, they won't be able to see it. That's one of the biggest features of this aircraft.
What does that mean exactly? Because we've heard stealth fighter for years. We've heard, we see all these graphics, the plane disappears. What does it really mean in the real world? Is it some sort of radar-proof shield around it that keeps it from showing up?
Yes, sir. It's the design of the aircraft. So there's a lot of things put together to make sure that the aircraft is not seen by radar of our enemies. So,
and that provides you with a fraction of time that you need to do what you need to do.
Yes, sir. So that's where the stealth capability comes from.
How are they doing so far, sir?
They're killing it.
A
I was waiting for the Wonder Woman, you know, when she flies her airplane.
Right.
The invisible plane.
When you signed up, that's what you think you were getting into? You know, maybe I could meet Wonder Woman?
That's right. The movie's coming out.
We're fine with it. Hey, Chicago, we love the Air and Water Show. I mean, it's one of the most exciting times of the year for many of us, and North Avenue Beach is always packed. I'm just curious how it rates for you guys. I mean, I know you do a lot of these different shows.
Yeah, what were you telling me in the green room? 16 shows this year?
Yeah.
Yep. So 17 perhaps, but 16 right now.
So where does it rank? The right answer here is number one.
It's going to be a great show. We're really looking forward to it. And the outpour on social media has been awesome. The people of Chicago have been awesome. Rudy Malinotti and his team have been awesome. So we're really looking forward to the show, and it's going to be a great show. So come out this weekend and enjoy the show.
Any special challenges based on the proximity to the city and really tall buildings?
Yeah. No, sir. It's going to be all over the water, so there'll be multiple areas that they could view the show. There'll be no issues with the viewing.
And do you guys get to actually watch the show?
We'll take turns rotating, so we'll be having a tent out on the beach area.
Okay.
So people can come up and talk to us. We'll have the helmet specifically for the F-35.
Oh, cool.
So.
Okay, but when you practice, though, come on, don't you try and do at least a flyby, like try and get the person on their patio having a cup of coffee to...
Yeah, do your guys like do that? Do you guys admit it now? Do your guys buzz citizens of Chicago?
No, never.
You don't like doing the flyover. You guys don't like doing the flyover or Wrigley, where you just crank it and you hit it right over the top of Wrigley and everybody freaks out.
Oh, I'm sure we would love to be able to do that, but I don't think the people would enjoy that.
Strictly against regulation,
right? We got rules.
That's right. Yes, sir. Rules are important. That's important. Who do you guys want to see? Like when you see these shows. It's not the same group that tours to each one of these shows, right? So what other branches and show members do you want to see perform?
So there's quite a few different shows, the Thunderbirds, the Blue Angels, the Golden Knights, as you mentioned before.
Yeah.
We've seen them multiple times, and they put on a great show. The Thunderbirds are going to be at this show, and they always do an awesome show. We all get along. We're all air show family. So
come on.
Yeah,
it's got to be a little rivalry.
No, never. Sorry.
They all look up to us. There's no rivalry.
Right. They know who's in charge.
Yeah, our show, I think, is the best, though, if I can brag a little bit. But
yeah,
because we're called the Heritage Flight, so we have the most advanced, the latest aircraft in the F-35, and we fly with a legacy aircraft. I think this weekend is a P-51 Mustang. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Is that right? So we fly alongside, you know, the dominant fighter of the World War II era. So we're flying in formation with that, and the people get to see we're honoring the past and the present of aviation. So that's a really cool deal.
When you're training, at what point do you decide maybe you want to do this type of flying, or are you chosen to do it?
These guys were selected, so I wasn't. I'm just in my job. These guys are selected from the best of the best of the folks that we have out at Luke Air Force Base in Phoenix, Arizona. So the team is made up of 10 folks. Am I
yes,
right,
sir?
10? There's 10 of them. One pilot and then 9 maintainers that are really the backbone of it that make the airplane go and the pilot really relies on. So
the pit crew.
Yes, sir. Right. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So, but when they come to you and they say, we want you to do this, it's an honor, obviously, but it's not the same duty maybe that you signed up for. Is it a tough call?
Yes, sir. It's a very tough call. It's very competitive, but it is very, it's one of the top honors for us maintainers, as you call this pit crew. To be able to be part of this team and go out to these 16 shows and showcase the F-35, the newest fifth-generation aircraft, it's really an honor.
What kind of questions do you get when people come up? How fast does the plane go?
That is definitely one of them.
Right.
Yes, sir.
But what do people ask? There's got to be a handful of questions that come up every show, right?
Oh, yes, sir. And that's one of them. How fast does it go? It goes Mach 1.6. And how many Gs can it pull? It could pull up to 9 Gs.
It's very similar to my ice blue Chevy Impala.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Very much so, yes. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
fast. You might get a couple of tickets going that
well,
fast.
Well, you know, just tell them who I am. What else do you hear? From fans, from people that want to ask you questions?
A lot of times we get questions about the helmet. So since we have it on display, something right there for them to see, touch. So
it's a wearable computer, right?
Essentially.
It's a little step up from Google Glass.
It is, a little bit. We like to describe it as, you know, how Iron Man, how he could see in his mask and he could see all the enemy targets. It's quite, it's like that. It's like Iron Man seeing in there.
How much training do you do in the helmet that's not even in the plane? I mean, you got to learn the helmet, right?
Yeah, so we do have simulators that they utilize prior to getting into the cockpit and using it, so they could get used to the helmet.
And what's the thing you have to tweak at every show? Pit crew.
Pit crew? Nothing, really.
So you're ready to rock?
Yes, sir.
So a bad show for you guys is somebody's got to grab a wrench.
We have to put fuel back into it, and that's about it.
Yeah. What kind of mileage are we getting on these planes?
Quite a bit. I think it's like 1,260 nautical miles for a full tank.
For a full tank, and yes, how big is the tank?
15,000
pounds. 15,000
pounds.
Oh. Yeah. I got behind one of these guys at Gas City.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it took forever. It was unbelievable.
The line. Hey, what are your nicknames? Are you allowed to say those?
So my name is Sam Smith, so Smitty.
Smith. Oh, okay. Yes, it's original. Okay. And
just Nick.
Yeah. Just Nick.
Name, yeah.
The Air Force tradition is typically the pilots, yeah. And the two pilots that are coming this weekend are D-Rail and Inch.
Okay. An Inch.
An Inch.
Inch, okay.
Now, these guys, the pilots know how much they need you guys, but there's got to be a little needle going back and forth. You know, the pilots ever give you a hard time?
No, usually the hard time's going their way.
I would think so, right? Yeah. You want a plane to run? Yeah. Try me. But for people who want to learn more and stay in touch and, you know, check out some pictures online and things, where do you send them?
They can go to luke.af.mil and click on the Heritage Team link there, and there's some links to social media on there, and they can drop these guys a message and say hello.
My father was Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force, and I salute you guys for your service every day, and all your brothers and sisters who do the same. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you, sir, and thank you for having us, and thanks to the men and women of Chicago for having us, and we're looking forward to a great show.
It's going to be a great show, yeah, and hopefully Mother Nature will cooperate on Saturday. I don't think she'd mess with you guys.
She's messing with us right now.
Well, this is just warm-up time, yeah. These guys flying these planes, right? Flying and fixing and keeping these planes up to date, and they're complaining about traffic coming in.
No.
Just like everybody else. So, nice to see you. Thanks for being here.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
First of all, the candidate is in control of his campaign.
But a couple of papers said Donald Trump doesn't realize that the Crimea was already taken. I know it exactly 2 years ago, approximately.
It didn't happen.
Okay, approximately.
And I'm in control of doing the things that he wants me to do in the campaign.
So when I said, believe me, Russia's not going into Ukraine, all right? They're not going into Ukraine.
Absolutely not true.
The person said, but they're already in Ukraine. I said, yeah, well, that was 2 years ago. That's. I mean, you want to go back? You want to have World War III to get it back?
So the campaign is in very good shape.
The Crimea.
That's the whole deal. I mean, you got your two Corinthians. That's it. You got your Corinthians, you got your one, and then there's the other one. I mean, Shlemiel Shlemazel. Let's review, kids. The Crimean Peninsula, not the Crimea. And yes, Putin's been there for a while. Maybe it is time for a campaign shakeup. It's 7:13. Pat Brady's here, as mentioned. Pat, where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies.
And Eric Edelstein just came in from the rain. Nice to see you out of the street.
Thanks. I swam here.
Yeah, it's a little wet, a little damp out there. And where do you work?
I work at AL Media.
How's that working out for you? Did you get through probation and all that?
I did get through probation. I did. Yeah, thanks.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
All right, let's start with the new Trump campaign team. I'm losing track, Pat. What version are we on?
I think this is 3.0.
All right, so Corey Lewandowski.
1.0.
It was 1.0. The Elvis impersonator, Paul Manafort, was 2.0. And now you have a collection of folks. Who's actually in charge?
I think the Donald is, but the people they put in yesterday, it's just basically doubling down on the positions he's taken. There's no effort to try to reach the middle ground of the electorate, which he needs to do. He got received 13.3 million votes in the primary. You need, what, 65 million to win? And he's going backwards.
All right. So, look, I'm no expert. But let me ask you something. Wouldn't you want to try to reach out to people that don't already vote for you?
You'd think.
As opposed to just talking to people who applaud you and show up at your rallies?
Well, you've seen it for years when people talk about their rallies. And remember Sarah Palin used to have these huge rallies and Mitt Romney had huge rallies. Right. They don't mean anything. It doesn't matter if you can put 10,000 people in a stadium because you give them free beer like Trump does, or the big Palin rallies. And actually, John Kerry did it up in Wisconsin right before an election in 2004. It doesn't matter how many people you get in the rallies. You got to put together a ground game. You got to have a message and actually start running ads, which I think they did this week.
The Breitbart guy, for people that don't know what Breitbart is, Breitbart was started by a guy named Andrew Breitbart, who died suddenly before he was 50, probably murdered.
That's in Brentwood, that's right.
Yeah, probably murdered in Brentwood by the real killer of O.J.'s family. There was a lot of conspiracy theories around.
That was the Lindbergh baby.
The Lindbergh baby killed Andrew Breitbart?
Yes, that's what I heard.
Holy mackerel.
Oh, the Clintons did that.
But the Breitbart website is a conspiracy theory haven. If it's one-third true, it's two-thirds not true. They make up a headline. They never apologize. They're sort of like Trump on the web.
Yeah, it's not good. It's a very disorganized, no ground game. One office in the key state of Florida.
But what does this guy do for you? This guy being Steve Bannon is his name.
I don't know what he does, but to me, it's just a message they're going to double down on what they've been doing. They just need to do it harder and louder, I guess.
Well, I think what it further divides the Republican Party. I mean, you're talking about a bottom feeder conspiracy guy who basically went after Paul Ryan, who is the establishment, sort of the...
Went after my good friend Mitch McConnell.
Went after McConnell. I mean, he's sort of the anti-Republican establishment. It's a double down on Trump being Trump. I mean, these guys are really unhinged. And I think we talked about a couple weeks ago, and I was sort of half joking, can you imagine Trump really unleashed? Like, how much worse can it get? And I don't mean electorally. I mean, in terms of the dialogue, in terms of the debate, in terms of the narrative. I mean, how many more offensive things can he say? How further can he tarnish, you know, the brand of the United States at this point? Unfortunately, there are still 80 some days to go. Someone made
she's the only reason he's still in the game.
Yeah. Somebody made the comment that he now has more campaign managers than field workers in this campaign. So
it's not that far off.
Yeah.
I want to get Andre in here. And also, you guys, if you want to text a question in or just text in that I'm an idiot, 312-981-7200. But we'll talk more about this in a second. What if he's right? What if this makes the Democrats so cocky they don't show up to vote and the majority of people that show up are ardent Trump supporters? What happens then?
There aren't enough of them. There aren't enough white guys in the United States to get him elected. And I don't think the Clinton campaign, after what they went through in 2008, is ever going to be complacent again. They have an unbelievable campaign.
Wait, is this we're back to the producer's plan? Like, be as incompetent and terrible as possible to try to lull the other side?
And it turns out it's a hit.
I mean, no, look, Democrats are motivated. Believe me, they are. I take back that believe me. Sorry.
But cocky is dangerous.
They're not cocky. They're very motivated. They know the threat that this guy has. I don't think anybody's taken anything for granted. And weird things can happen. So,
the good news is, though, Senator Kirk's been able to differentiate or separate himself from Trump. They have a pretty much dead even race here in Illinois with Senator Kirk and Tammy Duckworth. So there is some bright spot for the Republicans.
Get out and vote. You got to get out. But more on that in a second. In addition to that, I'd like you both to address, what do you do when you work with a candidate who doesn't want to listen, who just wants to surround himself with people who just say yes to him? Because I know both of you have probably run across that.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Well, let me ask you about this. So you say it's not a shakeup, but you guys are down. And it makes that there would...
Says who?
Most of them. All of them?
Says who?
Polls. I just told you. I answered your question.
Okay. Which polls?
All of them.
Okay. And your question is?
Hey, good cover.
All of them. That's great.
That was Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen is, what'd you tell me? Is lead, he's not lead attorney?
I put people counsel. In the grand jury that gave better answers than that. The less
Who?
Invasive.
What?
What? No. Depends on the definition of is.
You know what it reminds me of?
Who says we're behind?
Remember
what polls?
Remember in grade school you'd say to the teacher, how do you spell this word?
Well, you
look it
spell
up in the dictionary. How am I supposed to look it up if I don't know how to spell it? You look it up.
I think it's more like you took my lunch. No, I didn't. Well, it's in your hand. No, it's not. It's prove not. It. Prove it. Prove it.
Whose lunch? As of this morning, the only poll Trump has a significant advantage is in Indiana.
Which
polls?
I
don't believe. Yeah, those polls. And I don't think Clinton's spending a dime in Indiana because they believe that Indiana is not winnable.
He's down 9 in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. That which should have been a slam dunk.
Which polls?
Says who?
Says who, yeah.
Which polls?
It's close in Texas even. Close in Arizona.
Which is unbelievable.
You know, I do have to say, Trump was given his first classified briefing yesterday, and everybody said that it went incredibly well. He didn't throw a tantrum. He didn't soil his pants. For a two-year-old, he acted very mature.
And he didn't run out and tell everybody, hey, guess what I know?
Not yet. Not yet.
We actually have something on U.S. intelligence post-briefing. Jake, tell me when you have that. And And this is right before he went in to the briefing. He hasn't talked afterwards because I believe they threatened they'd shoot a missile at his head. And by the way, it's not that hard a target to hit.
Might here's, bounce right off that hair, though.
Here's Trump on intelligence.
Do you trust intelligence?
Not so much from the people that have been doing it for our country. I mean, look what's happened over the last 10 years. Look what's happened over the years. I mean, it's been catastrophic. And in fact, I won't use some of the people that are sort of your standards. You know, just use them, use them, use them. Very easy to use them. But I won't use them because they've made such bad decisions. I mean, you look at Iraq, you look at the Middle East, it's a total powder keg. It's a, if we would have never touched it, it would have been a lot better.
Now let's get in there and get that intelligence. By the way, the president doesn't pick the intelligence team, just for clear. But why muddy the waters with facts? You've both worked with candidates for years and years and years. What do you say to a candidate that doesn't want to listen?
Well, look, there's a certain point where you say, it's always their show. We're just along for the ride to sort of play at the margins.
And but I think they don't want to listen, and you know they're wrong.
Then you walk away.
That's the only option.
It's the only option because it's not your thing. And say, you don't need me if my advice is being ignored, my strategy is being ignored. And it's not a petulant, I'm taking my ball and going home. It's do your own thing. It's your campaign. I have nothing to participate in here.
But your opposition candidate has an unbelievable dishonesty problem, and you're going, we are blowing such an opportunity here because this is so winnable. Does that make you stay around longer, Pat?
I think for these guys, it depends if the check is cleared. You know, or am I still getting paid? Because I don't think they really care, because I know a couple of these guys are smart people, and they know what he needs to do. He's just not listening.
So what happens to Paul Manafort, the Elvis impersonator now? Because is the reason he's not completely gone is because then you're admitting you had a problem there?
Well, it depends on who you believe, the spin coming out of what happened yesterday. My gut is he's probably pushed out, and there's going to be somebody who's going to listen to this Breitbart guy for a couple weeks. But when that blows up, you know, Manafort will probably be back.
It wasn't, no, I think Ivanka is eventually Ivanka.
Well, we haven't even talked about Roger Ailes being in this mix. Talk about
he's giving him, isn't he giving him debate prep?
Yeah, I mean, they've been friends forever. Clearly, you know, they were having lunch at one of his hotels. He's clearly in there for debate strategy. I think it's not a shock that the Breitbart guy is in there as a function of Ailes. I mean, you're talking about the great, you know, sort of black arts wizard here who's totally unhinged.
Well, speaking of totally unhinged, there's another guy named Roger Stone, who's been around Trump forever, who's one of the worst people on the planet. If you Google Roger Stone's greatest hits, you'll see what I'm talking about. And if these are the people in your candidate's ear, I don't know what it's going to look like.
Well, how many people do you need to watch you to have a hit television show? About 3 million?
That's a two-share. A two-share on cable is a hit.
I think that's the goal now. He can walk out with a good TV show because it doesn't make sense politically, any of the things he's doing right now.
Well, there's people that are good, solid Republican folks who are driving to work right now who are going, come on, pull the plug.
I think there's another point is that I always maintain, Steve, that candidates get the campaigns that they deserve and that they put together because they are ultimately in charge. And I think it's a function of their leadership and their organizational ability, the way they organize their campaigns. And it is an indication to voters of how will they govern. And I think this, again, this is another reinforcement. This guy is not a great businessman. I mean, this campaign is a disaster. And the notion of him running the country, putting aside the recklessness, the dangerousness, and the ideology, he can't organize a way out of a paper bag.
The movie that will come out of the backstage for this campaign is probably going to be pretty entertaining. Because you know there's a movie, there's a book, and there's going to be people are going to talk going, oh, you haven't heard anything yet.
Who plays Trump?
I think Trump. I think you got to put Trump in that role.
Yeah. Oh, that's what this is. And I think actually, this is all what this is all about.
Setting up the movie.
Steve thinks that Trump at some point will drop out before the election. I do not. Do you guys see that happening on any level?
It's too late, though, to get somebody else on the ballot.
Right.
I mean, the ballots are printed in Illinois next week, I believe.
Wouldn't just a blank line poll better at this point?
But I think for his ego and for who he is, he would rather go down to, you know, a huge defeat, but say 30 million people voted for me.
Well, he's doing now is, in all seriousness, he's trying to delegitimize the election so he can say that it's fraud and it was stolen from him and the establishment hates him, which to me is a very dangerous thing for the country.
Well, look at it.
Whether you like Hillary Clinton or not, she's going to be the next president.
Regardless,
she's our president.
Regardless of the outcome, he's not going to admit he lost. He's not going to shake her hand. He's not going to walk away and be a good sport about the whole thing. He is going to say it was an illegitimate election or he was a victim and it didn't happen. So isn't it better if he goes 2 months out? I can't do this. Good luck, Republican
Party.
Better
for who?
Better for Trump. That's what the whole thing's about. It's not better for the country. If it was better for the country, we wouldn't be in this position.
Well, I'm not gonna sit and speculate what's better for Donald Trump.
No, but I'm saying I don't care what's better for Trump. I mean, what could happen?
I think it's unlikely. In my mind, I think it's unlikely. Just given his ego, I think he sticks it out and says it was stolen from him.
Yeah.
And he and the 30 million or 40 million Americans that voted for him are the legitimate America. And that, and as Pat said, that, and we talked about this last week, that's corrosive and that's destructive to democracy. There's a certain leap of faith you have to take in the outcome of an election. And when you start questioning it, that's where it's just, it starts to unravel. And I think that's unfortunate.
Is there something out there when we come back? Is there something out there by way of a September surprise or an October surprise that is so ultimately damaging to Hillary Clinton that this becomes a race again? And this isn't just trying to juice this up and get another segment out of it, because I don't need that. Is there something out there, and is the Clinton campaign concerned about it? And why isn't the WikiLeaks guy in jail?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
What's your strategy for getting to that 15%? Is it a regional strategy? Is it a demographic strategy? How are you going to do it?
Gene, I think right now that it's happening. I'm going to give us better than a 50% chance of achieving that, and that's all of what's happening from a social media standpoint. I mean, all the analytics really are off the charts. Right now, we're doubling every 3 weeks, and just the last couple of days, we raised $2 million online, which for us is unprecedented. I mean, it gives us really gives us a shot at winning this. Neither of us would be doing this if we didn't think we had the opportunity to actually win the whole thing.
I'd say that Gary Johnson and William Weld are disappointing to me because they're not trying hard enough. And the Commission on Presidential Debates is supposed to have a decision on Monday on who's in and who's out. Fortunately for America, it's a sliding scale. So they may still have an opportunity to get in because no announcement has been made. But there's five major polls. They average the five polls. And if you get to 15%, you're in the debates. That announcement could come at any moment, I suppose, since the deadline's passed.
Can I ask Eric a question as a Democrat?
Yeah, sure.
Why would Hillary Clinton actually do a debate if she's up this big right now?
Well, I think that, you know, there's a tradition of debates. I think it's too hard at this level to sort of look like you're ducking and hiding, and that becomes an issue, you know, the old debate about debates.
Right.
So I think she has to do it.
Plus she gets pay-per-view rights.
She gets pay-per-view. That clip on Gary Johnson when he talked about the $2 million they raised, he almost sounds like, we could buy some great weed with that.
Well, you know, there is the notion that these two guys are, and I saw the body, you know, when they were in here for an hour, the body language between the two of them, Weld was sitting there going, clearly I should be the guy.
Yeah.
And Johnson, who I think is a really smart guy who says a lot of interesting things, it's a weird vibe, a weird chemistry between the two of them. But we have made them a standing offer to come back. And and just so everybody's clear, nothing went wrong in the interview. They had a very good time and they were very pleased with the response. But I'd like you guys to be able to hear more from them. And we can't get them. And if you can tell me you've seen Gary Johnson and William Weld doing an interview in the last 48 hours, I'd like to know where. So, you know, we talk about whether or not Trump really wants to win. I don't know that these guys are all in. Yeah. Jill Stein's working harder. Mm-hmm. So at 6, make it 7:44. Is there something that could be ultimately very damaging to Hillary that we don't know yet?
I think there's two things. Zombie apocalypse could happen. And the long rumored, we haven't confirmed, alien invasion that could happen. I mean,
is this the one that occupied Bill's body when he was?
Well, no, it's the flying city that's been hovering above the United States. Affecting all the
stuff. I thought that was a cloud pattern.
Yeah, no, the guys with the tinfoil hats and stuff have been predicting this for a long time.
So no is your answer.
Yeah.
Look, she's the most scrutinized, most sort of investigated, most researched public figure perhaps of the last generation. And so again, I'm not making a judgment on whether that's good or that's bad, but she's been so probed and prodded in terms of her public and private life, it's hard for me to imagine. Now, take it to the next step. Could there be an external event, some sort of economic collapse, some sort of terrorist event? all those things certainly could happen. But I find it hard to believe, I don't know what Pat thinks, that that ultimately changes the fundamental narrative structure of this race, because you've got a dangerous, reckless sort of guy who the American people are clearly now saying they don't think should be their president. I'm not sure an external emergency makes them think, oh, God, we need Trump.
Well, I think you've hit on something specifically, too, that does ring true, and that is, what do we not know about Hillary that we could find out, which is kind of where the question came from, because if something else comes out that the foundation has some other things that need to be overturned, or that there were more emails that are now disclosed that had things that contradict what she said, she has historically high, we don't believe what comes out of her mouth numbers. So I don't know what could change that, even if this criminal Julian Assange continues to turn stuff over.
Well, she's the most inoculated candidate that we've ever seen from the 30-year history of the Clintons, from the intern scandal to getting impeached to what she did with her emails, lying through her teeth to the public about her whole email server controversy. So I don't think there's anything more you could say about it. I think 8 and 10 don't think she's trustworthy. Not much you can do. I agree with Eric. Even a big external thing, it's not going to drive people to Trump.
But there are a lot of good people listening again this morning who are concerned about what a Hillary Clinton presidency is. And I don't buy into the narrative, one of my least favorite words, that it's going to be an extension of the Obama presidency, because I think there are real distinct differences between the two. But the larger concern is the abuse of power.
The larger concern is me with the Clintons in the 30 years we've been watching them. There will be controversy and scandal. It's all about Clintons. It's not about the country.
So if somebody's going to give up their vote as an American and say, okay, I can't stomach Trump, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton, I think Hillary Clinton at some point needs to address that the American people are more than concerned, and that maybe she's given them reason to. And I know that's completely counterintuitive to anybody on a campaign, but she's got a lead now that is almost hard to imagine. And she's got a little room to play with. And you've talked about it, and I've talked about it, Eric, and we've talked about it as the three of us. The more human she becomes, the better. She doesn't have to say, you're right, I'm wrong. But what about looking the American people in the eye and saying, yeah, I understand why some of you may concern, and I'm going to try to prove to you that I'm trustworthy.
No, look, I think that's right. We've talked about it repeatedly on this show, and I think it's something she struggles with. And hopefully, as we move into a Hillary Clinton presidency, you'll see more of that. Maybe she'll sort of find her voice a little bit more. I think we saw some of that at the convention. I think we've seen it sporadically in different interviews. And I think, you know, the prospect of being the only thing standing between Donald Trump and this country, I think, is an unbelievably focusing thing. And then, you know, how she governs and what she wants to do, I think, ultimately becomes the test. I think one thing that is concerning is this combination of the people who will vote for Trump and he'll tell them the election was illegitimate, the other group of people who will go and cast a protest vote for a third-party candidate who can't win, and then another group of people who just won't even come out. I mean, I was in West Texas last weekend, of all places, Rock Rib Republican places, and they said, we're just not going to vote. You know, there's no way we're voting for Donald Trump, but Hillary Clinton, no. So you're going to have these different pockets of folks who really, in a sense, are not going to be participating in who the next president is. And I worry, again, beyond partisanship, Democrat, Republican, all that kind of stuff, the future of our democracy, when you now have a president who all these people are saying, well, she's not my president. And I think that is something she is going to have to address to be able to govern.
No, I completely agree. In fact, people that we were talking to in Philadelphia said the same thing, who were not Hillary supporters, saying, yeah, I'm not going to vote, or I'm going to cast a vote for a third party, which I agree with you, Eric. I think that is quite honestly a wasted vote.
The thing is, with the Clintons, if you've been watching them like we all have for 30 years, they, in the 90s, took a poll to figure out where to take a family vacation. So unless we get a complete 180 on how they've run things. And listen, policy-wise, Bill Clinton, by the time the Republicans got control of the House, was pretty much middle of the road. We had NAFTA, welfare to work, the crime bill. So there were some things there that they did that were policy-wise a lot more in line with the Republican side than the Democrats. So hopefully they will do that. But I just don't have confidence that it's going to be any different. It's going to be all about the Clintons. It's 24/7 Clinton show when they're in.
Can I ask you, what in all seriousness, the day after the election, Trump loses, where is the Republican Party? Who's the standard bearer?
We're all wearing pantsuits, buddy.
Who, there who becomes the favorite for presidential nominees?
Paul Ryan. I think so. There's been a couple good editorials in the last couple of weeks about it's going to be the return of the I think the moderate Republican, the Mark Kirk type Republican, that's going to get have more of a voice because the train wreck we're going into right now.
But
it doesn't work.
I would agree with that. But I think Ryan Priebus, when he stood up after 2012 and said we missed the boat on a lot of things and we're not going to do it again. Has there been enough learned from this debacle in the 90 days still to come to change that tide? I mean, in other words, the Republicans had 4 years to get it right, and they got it really wrong.
They did, and I think that what needs to be changed is the primary process. Like I said before, he only had 13.3 or 13.4 million votes, and now he's the nominee, and the damage he's doing. The good news is, I said just a minute ago, there are some candidates that are separating themselves down ticket, like Senator Kirk, but I think it's a guy like Paul Ryan, but it's got to be a reset, and it's got to be a reset looking towards that autopsy in 2012 because that was the right thing to do.
But here's the problem, and I've seen this written as well, is that if you, you know, I assume that the Republicans will retain the House, but I think their majority will be smaller. That means that caucus, I think, will be more conservative and more right-wing, and I'm not sure they're going to take the right lessons out of this. I think they may be a huge thorn in saying, you know, Trump was the wrong messenger, but in many ways he had the right message. That's not what the Republican establishment has been, which is free trade, you know, which is this kind of hardcore message that doesn't appeal to that Trump base.
I agree. And the problem is, and go back to an issue you've talked about here, is the way that they draw the legislative districts.
Yep.
They need to do this fair map. They need it in Illinois. They need it nationally because it's so polarized. Because why would you not run to the right if you're Republican? Because the only way you're going to lose is in a primary.
Independent maps, Google that and support it, or at least take a look at it and support it. Your vote matters. There's a lot of people I run into all the time that go, oh, I'm not going to vote because I'm not going to vote for president. I know that probably the majority of people don't spend time learning what the down ballot races are about. But in the 10 minutes a day you spend, and I'm not knocking you because this is what everybody does, but in the 10 minutes a day you spend on Facebook or the hour or whatever, you can spend a fraction of that and learn about the votes that matter to you. And in the coming days, we'll give you specific websites and places you can go to simplify the process. But your vote matters even if you don't vote for president.
And can I make another point, Steve? The other thing, and I don't mean to give a civics 101, but your vote matters. And your favorite candidate doesn't always win. But you're still an American,
yeah.
And it's still our country, and you accept the result, and you work hard to try to beat that person the next time, but you don't question the legitimacy of it. Because ultimately,
you gave a great example on what Nixon did in 1960 last week.
The day after the election, when he absolutely had reason to challenge what happened in Texas and Illinois, and he said, for the good of the country, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, before.
And you know what? Honestly, you can give Al Gore credit for not pushing on Florida.
Well, he lost.
Well, he won the
the court says you lose, you're pretty much over.
Well, but
that's that Supreme Court.
He could have challenged it. He could have gone back and tried to
They just made a strategy mistake.
All right, let's bring Al Gore out right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, he's still working on the internet.
Hey, but before we write the obit on the Republican Party, let's look at what's happened quickly in the last 8 years. We picked up 900-some legislative seats, got 12 governorships, largest majority in the U.S. House since the 20s, and won the Senate. The problem is we don't have a national appeal, and that's what we need to work on. But even at the county board level, we've got the Republicans where the people actually vote for people that directly impact what they're doing in their daily lives, not too far off policy-wise what the public wants.
And the 2018 election will be the last election before the next census when the next maps would get drawn.
Exactly.
And so you can pick up things there. I think, you know, look, the other thing is this thing.
But that whole process of drawing the map, and I know it's too much into the weeds for life, is so flawed. Why do the people get to choose who votes for them? It's a totally rigged. And on both sides, I'm not saying partisan. It's really a bad way to do it.
Stick around. Last words from you guys in a second on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Hey, 13, live in the world's greatest office. Show number 716 at Cochran Show on Twitter, facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Texters 312-981-7200. Wizard World is in town. Dean's off today. And Jason Mewes is nice enough to get in and come on over here. Do you know how many movies you've made? Do you even know? Do you know what the number is?
I don't know.
Let me give you a list, see if you remember these.
A lot.
Jay and Silent Bob.
Yes.
That's the one everybody knows you for.
Yes.
And Clerks, obviously.
Yes.
Yes. Did you know you also did Mallrats?
Yes, so it was Clerks,
Mallrats. Now, hold on a second.
Oh, you're
Chasing Amy?
Yes.
Dogma?
Yes.
Got some other
Clerks
ones
too.
Here. Clerks, too. Oh, Pauly Shore is Dead?
Yes.
Gone, Baby Gone.
I did not act in that, but I was part of that. I got a special thanks in that.
You wrote it.
I wish I wrote it.
Gone with the Wind?
Never.
How do you know? I mean, you've been in a lot of movies. You could have been a Gone with the Wind.
No, I know everyone that I'm in. I just don't know the count. That's.
Do you know you did cartoon voiceovers?
Yes.
Did you like doing that?
I do. I enjoy
it. That's got to be the best gig in show business.
You know what? It's a lot of fun, but it's different. You know, there's the pros and the cons. For me, I feel like I'm very antsy and animated and stuff. So when I try, you know, you're sitting in front of the mic or standing in front of the mic doing the animation.
Yeah.
Like I want to move all over, but then all of a sudden, like I hit the microphone or I'm moving too much. Right. My clothes are rustling or my, you know what I mean? So, but again, it is fun. You don't have to take a shower. You can wear your pajamas. You can be in your boxers if you want.
Kind of like the way we do this show.
Yes. It's like radio. I think it's much. Yeah. It's just like radio.
And the Smodcast continues.
Jay and Silent Bob Get Old is Kevin and I have been doing that podcast for almost 5 years. We're coming up on 200 episodes pretty soon.
And what do you do in the podcast?
We make out a little bit. No.
Right. Well, you know, we know this. Kevin's a friend of the show. He's a good kisser.
You know, it's us talking about, you know, our friendship and things that we've been doing for the last 25, 30 years and the last week. But it's also sort of started as an intervention podcast in a sense because I wanted to do a podcast and I had just gotten sober. I had probably about 4 or 5 months sober.
Good for you. How long now?
So now it's been 6 years and two or three months.
I salute you. One day at a time.
Thanks. Yes.
Yeah. God bless. Yeah. And you're a dad?
Yes.
Yep.
Logan Lee, her name is Logan Lee Muse. It's a little girl. She's 17 months almost.
Right. And I saw something the other day that said she's never going to see Jay and Bob.
No, she'll see Jay and Bob. Maybe one day. I'm fine with that.
When she's 42.
I wouldn't want to be in the room, I don't believe. Yeah. Right. I wouldn't want her to see Zach and Miri. Zach and Miri, I show full frontal action.
Yeah.
That'll be weird.
It would be very weird. All right, now I told Andre I'd give her $1,000 if she can guess how old you are.
I looked it up.
No.
But I would have guessed. I would have put you at 30. I mean, okay. But I was a big fan of all your movies, too. Chasing Amy is actually one of my favorites. Awesome. I love Chasing Amy.
Don't you normally get 30, 27, 28, 30, 35
now. I mean, I feel like a few years
What's the high end when people guess your age? Nobody thinks you're 35.
I wouldn't say 30. 35 is the oldest, I would say, someone would say.
Tell everybody how old you are.
42.
42 years old.
I know.
And how great is it that everybody who, when you were a kid in high school, said you're never going to amount to anything, it turns out you turned it into a career.
And you know what's great is because this coming, I don't know if I'm supposed to give it away. I don't know if I should say.
Well, think during the break.
Yes.
We'll take traffic and Jason will ponder. And then we're going to let Stephanie ask a question because she actually is one of the bosses here.
She's excited.
Yeah, and she's practically stalking Jason.
And she goes to Wizard World every year and dresses
Who's
up.
The boss?
Stephanie.
Really?
Stephanie. Yes, yes.
Yeah, she was chatting me up. Her hand's on my leg right now.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
More Jason Mewes in just a second. It's the Wintrust Community Banks Hour. Dean's off today. Any show business headlines you're watching?
Well, we have a couple of interesting show business headlines for you. One of the Friends. Now, you and I are huge Friends fans. One of the Friends stars is speaking out, saying that fame messed with his personal life. He's being put in the category of the actors who not happy with the series that basically made them who they are. Any guesses who it might be? Who is not happy? Recently said, let me give you the quote.
It's he, so it's one of three.
All right, one of three. Here's the quote. When asked about Friends, this is yesterday, it was pretty jarring. It messed with my relationship to other people in a way that took years for me to adjust to and become comfortable with. As an actor, the way I was trained, my job was to observe life and to observe people, so I used to walk around with my head up and really engaged.
Well, it's not Matt LeBlanc, because he loves Friends and he loves the fame, so it's either Matthew Perry or Schwimmer. And Matthew Perry is still working and seems to be willing to talk about it, so by process of elimination, I'm taking Schwimmer.
You are right. David Schwimmer. How about that?
Schwimmer never seems happy. I mean, Looking Glass Theater is doing great.
Yeah.
Lighten up, David.
It's unfortunate because he's a fantastic actor.
But I think I know what he's talking about. It's the fame thing. The fame
thing.
Yeah. Because, you know, I can't go anywhere. I go into a Jewel, people stop me and they go, "Do you work here?" And I go, "No, no, I don't work here."
I thought they say Denzel.
That's another issue I have. People confuse me with Denzel all the time.
Somebody else who, oops, there goes my paper. Somebody else who is not happy, Jared Leto. Do you say Jared Leto or Jared Leto?
Leto, it's Leto. Leto or Leto.
What do y'all, Leto or Leto?
Yeah.
He's not happy with a Suicide Squad. He said he's not even going to see it. He's not even going to, I guess, watch the trailer or go see it at the theater or anything like that. He said he was tricked into doing the movie and he wasn't happy with the script and he hates his performance.
Well, great. That's pretty positive. Yeah, good for the.
He was tricked into playing the Joker.
That's great. Jason Mewes is here.
Isn't that weird?
If you do a movie, Jason, don't you have an obligation to plug it in some form and not trash it?
I don't know.
All right, we'll get back to you.
He says it was,
you got one more?
He said it was pitched to him differently.
Sorry.
He thought it'd be more artistic.
But
than
I thought he's the one who came up with that. The style of the Joker that he came up with, the tattoos
and
all the crazy.
Yeah.
I think he played the part great, but he's not happy with it. And one more for you. Like mother, like daughter, Vogue's new cover girl is Kaia Gerber. That's Cindy Crawford's daughter. And boy, does she look exactly like her mother.
No, she does.
She does. I don't think she has the mole, though.
Wow, that
beautiful
is bizarre.
Girl.
Yeah, she's
exactly
beautiful.
Like
beautiful
her.
Girl. So it's Cindy Crawford.
Remember when Cindy Crawford was on here, we were talking about her.
Yeah. So she's only 14 years old. She's completely comfortable in front of the camera.
Oh,
she's on
Lock
Pop
her
Magazine
up now.
And Vogue. So look for her career to start skyrocketing. Beautiful girl. So those are your headlines, Steve.
Wizard World. In town, Jason Mewes in town. Do you like meeting the fans? Do you like going out?
I do. I enjoy it.
How many of these
it.
Do you do a year?
Every year is different, but I don't know. Anywhere, you know, last year I did a bunch. This year I've only been doing a few. So.
Q&A? What is the deal?
I love the Q&As. When I do the conventions, I usually, on a Saturday, throw a Q&A in there. And I don't know. It's one of my... I have a lot of fun doing it.
What's the one question that always comes up about Jay and Bob that you could say on the air?
What's the word that a lot of people will get up and say, hey, what's the quotable line that everyone asks? Like most,
can you say it on the show?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of people ask me to say snooch to the nooch, or they ask me to say boo-boo kitty. Or
which I can't say on the air,
but I could say F song.
Yeah, right? Sure, of course. Yeah. And you just did.
I could say the letter.
Yeah, of course you can.
Don't
yeah,
yell
absolutely.
At me, bro.
I'm not yelling,
I'm
man.
Kidding.
You and I are friends. Now, Stephanie's here. Steph, what is your Stephanie is the assistant program director and really the one in charge here. She successfully stabbed Jimmy DeCastro in the back. You haven't seen him around here in a couple of weeks. He's obviously out.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, and Todd Manley, the former head of programming here, who's upstairs with a cardboard box trying to get a resume together.
Right. She parked in his spot today already.
Right. Yeah. So, Steph, I know you love Jay.
I do. I'm so excited. This is like I shaved my legs today, and I never do that.
Nice.
I mean, I do it sometimes.
Oh, it's a big day, Jason. It's a big day.
Yes.
All right. So you got one question. Make it good.
Okay. Well, here's my question for you. I go to these Wizard World conventions. I go to C2E2. I bring my 18-month-old and my 5-year-old. What's the coolest costume you've seen at Wizard World?
Wizard World.
Or at any sort of
convention. I was going to say Wizard World. It's been a coolest costume. There's so many good ones. I'm going to say that I saw two 14-year-olds dressed up as Bluntman and Chronic. So I don't know. I thought that was cool because
and you were wondering if they had parents
because there were girls and they were 14 and they were dressed as Bluntman and Chronic, and so that was pretty cool.
For the people that don't know, Bluntman and Chronic are obviously a very frank young woman and someone who's chronically in pain.
Exactly.
Those are the two.
Yes,
exactly.
yes.
But we have two former producers here who went as Jay and Silent Bob for a costume contest, a big one back here at Joe's back in the day, and won big money for it. Remember Mike Farron and John Lean?
Yes.
She fired them too. Huh?
Yes. She threw them out as well.
Gone, man.
Your 5-year-old, Steph, what does she think?
She's seen part of Mallrats, but not the whole film. What does she think of
of Wizard World.
Of Wizard World. Oh, she loves it. We went to Party City last night, y'all. I had the coupon online. She's Spider Girl. And then my 18-month-old is Spider Man.
Nice. You have a very cool household. Nice. She and her husband took their kids to Lollapalooza a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Right? Kidapalooza.
They were doing karaoke at Kidapalooza. Yeah.
Yeah, how about that? Anyway, dude, I appreciate you sticking around. Nice.
No, thank you.
Nice to see you. It's Wizard World. If people want to follow you, use social media.
It's, it's JMuse, JAYMEWES is my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook, and such. I do a little bit of all that, little bit of business. So.
And Steph, where do we plug Wizard World? Just wizardworld.com?
Yeah, you can go to wizardworld.com. I believe there's /Chicago in there because they're all over the country and they're amazing.
Have a great time. If you need bail, call me.
Thank you.
All right, see you later. It's The Big Story coming up next on 720 WGN.
Ryan Dempster.
There's a 1-1 to Freeman. Oh, he caught it right into the palm of Dempster's glove. Ooh, that is a little smile there from Dempster.
What would Harry say right now about this win?
Well, I got to tell you, there's a lot of champagne in here. I haven't seen this much champagne since my wedding. We had a party just like this. It was phenomenal. Go, go!
That was outstanding.
8:41, and our friend Ryan Dempster standing by. We talk about the best team in baseball, and it's not close. Your Chicago Cubs, who have been on such a tear lately, that little brief, it wasn't a June swoon, Dave. Was it a July swoon there for a week or so?
Well, actually.
Wasn't it early July? Yeah, it didn't matter.
It was going into the All-Star break.
No, you're concerned about facts. I'm not.
No, going.
But the fact is, the All-Star break hiccup means nothing. No. They're 30-plus.
33
over 500.
Magic number is 31.
And Ryan Dempster's here to go, holy mackerel, in my lifetime. You know, Demps, there's 42 or 3 games left, and I suggested earlier today that the Cubs just take the rest of the year off, but then they'd finish 10 games under. So they've got to play maybe another 20, and then I think we call up a Little League team to finish so nobody gets hurt.
Well, no, you got to stay fresh.
All right, so they play the last two.
There you go.
But no, what we don't want is some sort of catastrophic injury. And as Cub fans, you know, you're always concerned the other shoe's going to drop because this year has been ridiculous, off the charts.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, and it has been. I mean, you just see we're doing what we're supposed to do, and that's play really good baseball against the teams with not very good records. And it seems like sometimes I remember in the past we would play teams and we'd kind of play down to their level on some of the good teams we were on, and this team doesn't do that. They full throttle, you know, step on the pedal and just and make sure that they take care of business when they're playing these teams. And that break of the All-Star game was huge. And now what you have is you have this luxury a little bit, you know, still got a little ways to go, but you have a luxury of being able to rest guys who need it. So if a guy needs to bump a start because he's feeling tired or he's got a sore lower back or he's got a sore ankle, whatever it could be, you can do that. You know, look what happens. We have a guy like Trevor Cahill, who was in the bullpen. We sent him down to AAA to get extended as a starter, and he comes up and throws 5 shot innings. So, you know, things are good, but we got to, you know, continue to keep our eye on the prize, and we're putting ourselves in a really good position.
What's the best team you ever played on?
Probably, I'd say the best team I'd ever played on was the 13 Red Sox. The most talented team that I thought was, you know, capable of beating anybody every single day was the 08 Cubs we had. We had a really good team that year.
Right. And then, of course, the 3-and-out at the end of the year shocked everybody, including Chicago Cubs and including Demps. And if you're like me and you occasionally talk to Lou Piniella and you want to make his head explode, just bring that up.
Yeah, his head was ready to pop after that one. And that's a perfect case and a perfect example of it. We had this great team that kind of clinched early. And, you know, some of the guys, you know, it wasn't on purpose, but if you put the brakes on too much and you relax too much, you got to try and turn it back on. And, you know, it's not the NFL. In football, 2 weeks off is a great thing because you can heal up and health is a key factor. But in baseball, your timing is everything. So you got to maintain those things and have that. And Joe Maddon knows that. The coaches all know that. And the guys in the locker room know that. They've been down that road. A bunch of them have won it. They've been there. So they'll be ready to go, and they got to continue to go out there and do what they're doing right now. And they take it. They really do. It's funny when you go in there in the locker room each and every day. These guys, they take it just like that day. They don't talk about yesterday. They don't talk about tomorrow. They just talk about winning that game that day, and I think that's why they're having so much success.
You know, anybody in sports tries to analyze the weak spots of their opponent, but teams have to look at the Cubs' rotation. Really, I mean, you're grasping at straws if you're trying to find a weak link there. And these numbers, Ryan, are amazing. I mean, they're unbeaten in the month of August. It's August 18th. I've never heard of that. The starters in August, 11-0 with a 1.13 ERA, 12 straight games in which they have allowed two or fewer runs, the starting pitchers. I mean, they're really, and I know Lackey's got a little bit of an injury right now that, you know, might force him to miss a start, I guess, but there's really not a weak link in this rotation.
No, there is. This is fun. When you're on a team like this and your rotation's throwing well, it's a lot of fun because you're constantly pushing each other. You know, it's like when you show up to work and everybody's expecting you to do a good job, so they all fall in line. Or maybe they never do. I don't know. But
like, was that a shot at me, Demps? I mean, come on.
No.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Not at all. No, but it really is. It comes in internal motivation. You know, I remember playing, you know, on those teams, those 7-8 teams, and we had some good rotations, and it was constantly like, oh, man, really? You went 7 shutout? Okay, I got to go 8 shutout tomorrow. And it was fun to see who could have the lowest ERA. We put bets on those things, a steak dinner on lowest ERA, who has the most strikeouts, who's going to most scoreless outings, fun things. Like, you're picking up golf next time, and, like, it really does. You're pushing each other to get the best out of each other, and these guys right now are firing on all cylinders. And they do it all different fashions, whether it's a power pitcher from the right side, you know, John Lester with his dominance from the left side, especially lately, and then Kyle Hendricks throwing the Bugs Bunny changeup. But it seems like guys are swinging three times before it gets to home plate. So it's a lot of fun to watch them every fifth day individually go up there and dominate.
Dave, that's a technical term, the Bugs Bunny changeup.
Oh, absolutely.
Some people call it the EFIS.
Yes, yes.
But it's a technical term. You swing yourself into the ground by the time it gets to you.
I was never able to hit it. The play by Rizzo the other night, where would you rank that after a lifetime of watching baseball?
Oh, wow, man. I was there, so live action to see a catch like that is, I don't know, top five play I've seen.
Well, he kind of made it look easy. You know, his routine as it gets is stepping up on the tarp and snagging it.
He does, and I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing he's gone over there a few times and just figured out, all right, what's going to be my play here? How do I get up there? And he just does it all nonchalantly. And I saw a great thing on the internet. They photoshopped him into the Rio Olympics on the bounce beam, which I thought was pretty fabulous. So
very nice.
Cute. All right, Demp, I don't want to have to bring politics into this, but, you know, the most popular shirt right now selling in Wrigleyville is the 2016 Rizzo Bryant Make Chicago.
Are you
great
asking
again
Ryan
t-shirt.
Dempster if he's prepared to
asking,
endorse Rizzo and
I
Bryant?
I am. I'm sorry. I got to bring politics into it, Demp. What do you think?
Do I endorse? I would endorse Chris Bryant. Rizzo's not smart enough to run the ball. So, great kid.
C-ball, catch ball. C-ball, hit ball.
Oh, man. I got
very,
one
more. Very good between the white lines.
I got one more for you, too. I'm bringing my goddaughter to her first Cubs game today. How do I play the cute kid card and get her a baseball over by the dugout?
Okay, so the easiest way for that is you go down by the dugout, but don't go on the left. If you're looking out at the field, go closer to the on-deck circle.
Oh, okay.
And kind of just get right above the dugout if you can. Sometimes, you know, Jan or Margaret or Steve, the security guards, they might give you a little bit of trouble, but if you catch them looking the other way, then you play the cute kid card, because then you're closer. When there's 50 to 100 people, it's hard for the guys. You know, they feel bad. I got time for a few, but if there's just the one, that's the place to get it. Guys are walking in the dugout, they'll flip a ball right there.
Perfect. I'm gonna push everybody out of the way, and nobody else listen to what Demps just said.
Yeah, today, anyway.
Well, the thing I find interesting is you could call the Cubs office, and you could set up a private meeting, but now you just revealed to the entire city how to scam a cute baby.
Look at that face.
A cute kid. Well, of course he deserves
it. You wouldn't give her a ball?
She deserves it. Her little brother does, too.
The only problem is now, after I just said that, there'll be a line of people waiting.
Right? Yeah, that's exactly right.
And Demp said it was okay.
Yeah, all endorsed by Ryan Dempster. All right, so we go into this final stretch here, and there will be some kids called up, obviously, and going back to 2008, as you referenced, They always say a manager is good for plus or minus five games a year. I'd give Madden more credit than that. But is this one of the tougher stretches to figure out how to play guys and when to sit guys when you know what the end looks like and you know you're getting to the playoffs?
Yes and no. You know, guys want to play. The guys, when they want to play, they want to put up their numbers. They want to finish the season strong, and they want to go into the season with timing. So those guys have earned that right. You might call off a few guys, and that's great, but it's more for opportunity to be around it all and feel it. And you know, get in the stadium. A reliever might come up and only throw two or three innings the whole entire September. A position player, you know, might not play very much, and that's just the reality of it. It's those guys are the ones that have been doing it all year. They deserve to be out there, but there'll be times I'm sure where guys get days off, guys get some breaks, some rest that they might need. You know, you're sitting there, you're facing like Madison Bumgarner or something, and then you just say, okay, Riz, you get the day off. And, young kid from the minor leagues, you can go ahead and start against him here. So it's an opportunity more so to be around. And I don't think you're going to see as much rest as you think. I think, hey, man, a game's out of hand one way or the other, then that's where you might take that out too, to just give him a couple innings off. So, you know, Joe's in charge of all that, and he's, like you said, I believe he's responsible for a little more than those five wins as well. He's pushing all the right buttons and getting the most out of these guys, and we'll continue to do that down the stretch and make sure that they're completely ready for whatever's in front of them.
If needed, are you ready to go in October?
Oh, man, I'll throw BP all day. I was really good at it at the end of my career, and I'm still good at throwing good four-seam fastballs that guys can knock out of the park.
I put you on a gun right now. What are you going to get it? You're going to hit what number? You know, because I told you before, I can hit 56, 57 easy.
Yeah, I'll get you. I'll give you it right now this morning. If you give me a couple minutes to throw a few to warm up, I'll get you to about 85.
85 is not bad. It's not bad at all.
Give me a few months, I'll get to 90.
Yeah, you get to 90, and I won't even see it. 85, I'll at least hear it.
You did not see it. I watched it on Chapman throw the other night. It looked like a tic tac.
Yeah, exactly.
103 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah, and you know what? It wouldn't matter. He could throw tic tacs. He'd still be 110, 115. It's unbelievable. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great day.
Ryan Dempster from your Chicago Cubs. Mm-hmm. He sounds confident.
Well, you ought to be.
I don't know, Dave. We're only 33 over 500. We are talking about the Cubs here.
I think it's pretty much. Here's what's
Dave,
happening.
Dave, I also thought Trump wouldn't win the nomination.
Well, that's
look
true.
At the, but, it's a very odd year.
You know what? The Cardinals are winning now.
Yeah.
They can't pick up a game. They can't gain any. I mean, it's over. Yeah. They've already said they're going for the wild card.
Yeah.
But they might see the Cubs in the playoffs, and that's, you know.
We'll destroy them. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. I did last year.
We had on some folks from the Air and Water Show this morning, three members of the United States Air Force, one of them a kid that grew up in St. Louis, and he goes, man, the Cubs are good. He goes, we didn't see this coming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
When my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio de Janeiro.
That's it, Dave. Dance. Look at Dave go. Wow. You are all Rio.
I'm underrated as the dancer, Steve.
No doubt about it. Fantastic. It's 9:12. And Mike Jacobson will now play the role of Ryan Lochte. I will be one of Ryan Lochte's other friend swimmers. And what are the three guys' names? Do we know the three of the swimmers?
Yes, the other swimmers.
I think it's Bro Chach, and my Brosif.
I think I'll be Brosif. What are their actual names?
Jack Conger.
Jack.
Bro.
Gunnar Bentz.
Gunnar. Okay.
Or Gunnar.
Oh yeah.
Gunnar.
I'm guessing it's probably Gunnar. Yeah.
And Jimmy Fegan.
I want to be Jimmy the Fish because I'm a swimmer.
Okay.
Totally. I'm totally Jimmy the Fish. All right, Andre will play the role of the reporter asking us questions.
Yes.
Most of those will be directed at you, Ryan. But in the meantime, if you have any questions for me, I'll be over here. You know who I am?
I'm Jimmy
the Fish.
Jimmy and Ryan. So
I'm totally Jimmy the Fish.
Jimmy and Ryan, more directing this toward you, Ryan. What exactly happened that night?
you know, it's just like, yeah, you know. So I was just walking down the street, minding my own biz, you know, just a few honeys walking around.
That's right.
I was saying, what's up? And they were like, what's up? And I was like, what's up?
We you remember how hot the one was?
Yeah. She oh, was my hot. God. I think her name was Emily.
I don't think Emily was her name.
But then I put my hands up, like this bro comes up, and I'm like, bro, chill out, bro. And he's like, bruh, I want that wallet. And I'm like, dude. So I put my hands up, I was like, whatever. And then he took our money, and then he took my wallet, and I'm like, bro, that's my wallet. And he's like, no, it's mine now. I'm like, oh, no worries, man. I'll catch you later. I'll grab it from you later.
That's totally what happened.
And then he took my creds, too.
It's totally what happened.
Ryan, was there a gun involved? Did you see it? Did you have a gun?
Don't have any questions for me. I'm Jimmy the Fish.
Jimmy, Ryan, was there a gun involved in this holdup?
I don't know. Ryan, bro, was there a gun?
I don't know. I was talking to Emily at the time, so I was like, girl, what's up? And then all of a sudden, like, my wallet was gone. I was like, bro.
Ryan and Jimmy, how many offenders were there who robbed you of your wallet and your creds?
Some dude. I don't know.
They could have been, like, we've probably saw, like, there could have been, like, four, but there may have been one. It was between one and four. I think it's probably closer. Ryan, what do you think?
I was going to say six.
Nah, it was six. There was six.
It's interesting. Your story is changing quite a bit.
Yeah?
Did either of you make any of this up?
No way, man. No way.
Yeah, Ryan said, no way, man. No way.
No, I think we were in bed by like 8:30 or something.
A.M. All night! All night long! Hey, dude, I need a wallet. Do you know any place that sells a wallet?
I don't know. There's this guy that took mine earlier, and he said he was going to give it back, but...
He probably will. People in Brazil are so nice.
And just...
Especially Emily and her hot friends.
They're so tan. Just, like, it looks like they're in the sun all day. Right. Just
one final question I would have for you. This is a very serious crime.
This is for me,
crime.
Jimmy the Fish?
Yeah, Jimmy and Ryan. Now, if Brazil decides to prosecute you...
You have pretty eyes.
Thank you for filing a false
I was talking to Ryan.
Police report.
Thanks, bro. Yeah.
What would you do if criminal charges are filed against either of you?
Oh, that'd be bad. That'd be bad.
I don't know.
I'd hate that. I'd hate that if criminal charges are filed. I mean, we're just having fun, man. Just loving it up with the people of Brazil.
Oh, that was a great interview. That was great. I'm sure I got all my answers
totally
there.
All
I agree with Jimmy. Your eyes are beautiful.
Okay,
thanks, man. He was talking to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Matt Gutman, nice job by you. An award-winning performance from Mike Jacobson as incredibly annoying Ryan Lochte. Yeah. Matt Gutman is reporting with his fellow Team USA swimmers stuck, and there's a tweet from Gutman at ABC, with the swimmers stuck in Brazil facing more police questioning. Ryan Lochte tweeted this. This is a tweet from Ryan Lochte this morning. My hair is going back to its normal color tomorrow.
Totally is. Totes me goats.
Meanwhile, Brazil sources say the three swimmers made up the entire story. And further video, as of yet not released, shows Lochte fighting, in quotes, with security at the gas station.
Yeah, breaking down a door.
Totally. Yeah.
You guys really, you stepped over the line this time.
Yeah, you both Jimmy. Did.
Jimmy.
I prefer that you just call me Fish.
Fish.
Make love, not war. What decade am I in now?
That's my era.
It is 9:16. Make it 9:17. Jake can't be with us for the rest of the hour because other radio stations are calling him to do his incredible Ryan Lochte voice.
His dramatic interpretation.
Yeah. We'll come back and I'll give you some of these Olympic sports that are no longer in the Olympics. You tell me if they should be added back in. Golf got back.
Yep.
What else got back this year?
Well, baseball is coming back.
But there was another one this year. Golf and something else this year.
What else came back?
I don't know, but we'll look at the list. I'll give you
rugby,
the list
I think.
Yes.
Yeah, it was rugby.
Yes,
that's
rugby.
It. That's it. Nice job, Mary. Mary loves the Olympics.
I love
Mary's
it.
Mary's like an Olympic.
Totes best thing ever.
Totes my goats.
Yeah. All right, back in a second on 720 WGN. 922, I'll give you the sport. You tell me, Mary, jump in on this. You tell me, is this a former Olympic sport or not, okay? Live pigeon shooting.
I'd say no.
No.
I don't know.
No. That's not an answer, yes or no?
Pigeon. No, not live ones.
1900.
What?
Apparently between 300 and 400 birds were shot out of the sky as targets.
Must have had a pigeon population problem.
That's right. Live pigeon shooting.
We should do that in Chicago. Well,
you'd do it on the loading dock downstairs.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. No kidding.
Cane fighting. C-A-N-E. Cane fighting.
I'd say yes.
Cane fighting.
Cane fighting.
No.
That's weird.
Mary?
No.
Andre's exactly right.
Yeah,
wow. Exactly right.
I lettered in that.
Cane fighting. The reigning champion in cane fighting is France. It was last played in 1924. It's exactly what it sounds like. Two people whacking each other with canes.
Now they have swords.
How about this? The Greek sailors' only swimming competition. In other words, you had to be a Greek sailor.
What?
And it would be a swimming competition between Greek sailors only. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes?
I'm saying yes.
Yes?
And the first Olympics, maybe.
That's exactly right, in 1896.
You know the first Olympics was all men, and they played naked.
But yes, I heard that.
But you know how to get a lot of medals for your country? Make it a Greek-only event.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Then you're going to have Greek winning.
And there's nothing wrong with that. We invented democracy.
What about firefighting? Was firefighting ever an Olympic sport?
I'm going to say yes.
No.
I mean, it ought to be.
No.
Those guys are athletes beyond compare.
No.
Dave says no, you say yes?
I say yes.
No.
Andre is right again.
Oh, come on.
Okay, I'm seeing a pattern here.
A little bit, right?
Yeah.
The Greeks invented the Olympics, so I know a lot about the Olympics.
Both professional and volunteer firefighters played in the unofficial firefighting competition at the 1900 Olympics. Kansas City, Missouri earned the professional gold medal for best firefighters.
Wow. Good for them.
Must have been short on sports or something.
Ryan Lochte, what do you think of the professional firefighting competition?
I feel like it'd get pretty hot, bruh.
Yeah, he's probably right.
Yeah.
Light how about a
yes?
How about a swimming obstacle course?
Yes.
You all seem pretty confident. Is it because the first four were yeses?
Yes.
Because like obstacle, yeah.
Yes, that's exactly right. Some Frenchman figured it out back in 1900. 12 swimmers from five nations competed by swimming under and climbing over rows of boats.
Boats.
Yeah, boats. That was the obstacles. They put boats in the water.
It's weird.
The sport got discontinued because fans said it was really boring.
What?
I think it'd be cool to watch. Yeah.
This one you should know. Mm-hmm. Tug of War.
It's a band you were in.
That's a different game.
I'm going yes.
Tug of War, yes?
Yes.
Yes, yep. Yes, of course.
All right.
Tug of War last played in 1920. There's lots of pictures of this.
I'd
There's
like
pictures
that
of
to
the
come,
Tug of War.
That'd be cool to come back.
It's kind of cool.
Remember in Superstars?
On
TV?
And you have the flag in the center of the rope, and the rope has to cross the line.
Mm-hmm.
We should have a Tug of War against Rose Show.
Oh, we'd so win.
Oh, we'd kill
we
Rose
Show.
Are you kidding
him.
Me?
Wouldn't even be close.
Anna weighs about 100 pounds.
The only man on that show is Kevin.
And he lost all that weight, so we would crush them.
Yeah. And by the way, Ro would admit that.
Yeah, we could do it on Pioneer Court.
Producer Brian.
Oh, that's
Brian.
Yikes! Let's
yikes! I forgot about Brian.
Okay, next.
Yikes! We'd still win.
We would still win.
We'd still win.
Yeah, they got producer Brian, and we've got Bennett and me. That's a
good point. Yeah.
Like if you put Bennett and Mike together, you got half of Brian.
Yeah, maybe.
I thought you were going to say we have Sandberg.
Can we use DeCause?
What is an anchor?
Well, he should be a part
he's
of the
strong.
Team.
He's strong.
He's a strong guy, yeah.
No, we're just going to use Mary to just judge, you know, be judgmental around them and maybe perhaps knock their confidence out a little bit. No. Mary Boyle.
Sandberg.
Mary
Boyle.
MB.
Yeah, Sandberg.
MB or
whatever. Sandberg. How about motorboating? And by the way, not like that. Motorboating. Like actual motorboating.
No, that's
weird.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm saying yes.
You've changed your answer. You said no a second ago.
I did not.
You just said yes because
it was Andrea.
Yes.
Well, then I'm changing my answer.
Yes
or no?
You guys are all changing. I'm already winning.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, motorboating, that'd be stupid.
I'm already going to beat y'all.
Well,
so.
When they were first invented, maybe. It was everybody thought it was cool, so.
The answer is yes.
Yes,
the answer is yes. Motorboating, the reigning champion again. Boy, the French were good back in the stupid sports days.
Mm-hmm.
Emile Fabron on the Camille. These were crappy little motorboats that would race each other out to a pylon, turn around, and come back. Now, this next sport, if in fact it was in the Olympics, you'll decide. But this is one of the great traumatic events of my elementary school days. Rope climbing.
Oh, I hated that.
I used to hate that. We had
mandatory rope climbing.
We had
never get up there.
And I was a little fat kid, so you know the idea that I climbed the rope and touched the roof? Come on, please.
We had a kid who fell from the top of the rope.
And I assume the sensitive gym teacher said what?
They called 911.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they did.
In the 70s, you know what they would have said?
Get up.
It's not broken, get up.
Yeah, no mats either.
Rope climbing, Olympics or no?
I'll say yes.
I'm going, yeah.
This yes. would be cool to have in the Olympics again.
No.
I said again, the answer is yes.
Yes.
Sport was played just
How
like in
Dave
gym
didn't
class.
Because I'm already crushing you guys. Oh. You guys
he said all the others are yes. Dave said yes to everything. Oh. I like this one, the underwater swim race.
Oh, that's cool.
You can never come up for air?
Never. Until the end of the race.
Do you have a tank, or is it just you hold your breath the whole time?
Well, you don't even know if it's a sport yet, the Olympics. Is it or isn't it?
Do you have a snorkel?
I'm sure it used to be.
Yes, I'd say it was with no tank.
The answer is yes.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
Charles Devandil.
Another French guy.
Athletes got points for how long they stayed underwater before they came up for air.
I would be terrible at that.
Well, that's just a holding your breath sport. Then.
I can't hold my breath very long.
How about gymnastics on horseback?
That's
like
a yes.
Equestrian, yeah.
You seem pretty confident.
That is a yes, because I've seen...
You've seen it?
I've seen it back... Well, Greece and
Are you sure you've seen it? Gymnastics on horseback? That sounds ridiculous to me.
It's like in rodeos when the guys do it. The clowns do
Handstands
it.
Handstands.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
If you guys say so, the answer is yes.
Yes.
Yes. Last done in 1920... It's more commonly known as vaulting. Riders at the Olympics had to perform moves both with the horse stopped and at the canter, as well with the saddle and bareback.
Mm-hmm.
There have been several attempts to get vaulting included once again. Basically, it's you get the people riding the horse to stand on the saddle and to do various stunts on top of the horse while the horse is either sitting there or while it's walking around.
And there's nothing dangerous about that at all.
No. How about taxi or truck driving?
No.
Delivery truck driving or taxi driving?
No.
Saying no.
No.
You're all wrong. That was an Olympic sport. Last played in 1900. Again, France, the big winners. Were France and Greece the only people in the Olympics?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. This is not a New York City yellow cab. This was in 1900. And the 14 vehicles in the race had to complete a course of 30 kilometers in and around Paris. Prizes were awarded in four categories, divided by type of car and propulsion.
That doesn't seem like that would be a fair sport.
Or a good sport.
Like be like auto racing in the Olympics.
Well, delivery truck driving, you can win a gold medal and get your work done. Yeah. One-handed weightlifting?
Yes, I'm saying.
The answer is yes. One-handed weightlifting, yes. Yeah. Last done in 1906. And one more. Ski ballet.
Huh?
Yes.
Ski ballet.
Ski ballet.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I'd say
like
yeah.
Like they do in the Dells.
Like the Tommy Bartlett water
Tommy
show.
Bartlett.
But ski.
No, ski. Like snow
like
ski.
Like snow ski.
Not water. Snow
ski. Yeah, yeah.
No.
I'm going yeah.
Yeah, but now with the extreme sports, yeah, probably.
Yes, the answer is yes. Last done in 1992, so not that long ago. Made an appearance as a demonstration sport in 88 and 92. Was not received well in 1988, didn't do well with TV ratings, but you would ski down the hill and perform dances while you were skiing.
See, that's cool. I think that's cool. It's like snowboarding.
Would you like to bring that back?
Yes.
Yes, those are stupid sports from the Olympics. 9:31 back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Every once in a while, we get Bill Geiger to come over and talk a little retirement. We'll do that in just a second here. But we're also reminding you that Bill and Wendy will be here at 10. Steve Bertrand at high noon. How's Bertrand feeling? Is he okay after surgery?
Yeah, I think he's feeling really well. He looks good.
And then Bill and Wendy back 1 to 3. Rokan with Anna DeVlantis starting at 3. Kevin sounds pretty good on that show.
Pretty good, yeah. He does, yeah.
And we pick on Violetta all the time, but Violetta is doing nice work there, too. And basically, Violetta and Kevin are doing most of the work, while Ro and Anna just sit back. But Violette is jumping out of a plane apparently on Sunday. This is what was offered to you and I, and we turned it down.
We did turn it down just because you immediately said, I don't think I'm going to do that. I had to think about it for a while.
I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this. I would fly into outer space tomorrow. Like if you said to me, we got a space on one of the Elon Musk rockets, and it's the first shot. Mm-hmm. We're not sure we worked out all the bugs, but let's take a chance. I would do that before I jump out of a plane.
I wouldn't do either. I'll do a lot of things. I can be maybe a little bit of a daredevil, but I couldn't bring my nerve up to do it. I said to Mary May earlier in the week, thank you for the offer, but maybe next year.
Yeah, we like Mary. She was by this morning.
Love Mary.
So thanks for that. And again, it's your top flight scientists who are trying to figure out how to get you to space and get you back.
Yeah,
it's a guy with a license to fly and a door that won't close that's throwing you out of an airplane. Now, not in the case of the Air and Water Show. These are the professionals. These are the Golden Knights.
Yes, the Golden Knights.
Right.
But it still scares me.
It's the George Carlin thing. Why would you jump out of a plane that's not broken?
Plus, my mother said, if you ever jump out of a plane, I'll kill you.
I'd be way more afraid of your mother.
Than
whatever could happen jumping out of a plane.
I know. She's probably hearing this now. I'm waiting for my text. What?
It is 9:45. Bill Geiger's here. How are you, sir?
Good morning, sir. I'm well. And you?
Nice to see you again. How are things at Geiger Wealth Management?
Busy.
Well, that's good.
It's been a busy summer. Yes, it is.
It's very good. Are people getting smarter in regards to saying, hey, I got to get a little help for my retirement?
It seems that they are. You know, I just want to tell you that the biggest concern that we have when people come into our office, Steve, is whether they have enough money to retire or not. I mean,
sure.
We hear that over and over and over again. And you and I have talked before that retirement is like 20 to 30 years of unemployment.
Right, but you don't get the checks automatically. The government's not giving you any money. You got to have your own money.
No, imagine this. Imagine if you stopped working today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's happened before.
I know.
Normally, it's not my choice.
And you got to support yourself for the next 20 to 30 years out of what you have.
Yeah.
You know, can you keep up your lifestyle?
So how do you figure out the magic number?
Well, it's a little bit more than that. What you need to do is basically three different things. You need to make sure that you can build sustainable income inside your portfolio. And what I mean by that is predictable income that comes in every month. You don't have a paycheck anymore. You need a part of your portfolio that's going to produce a paycheck for you.
Right. So money that makes more money.
Yeah. That's number one. Number two is you really, really, really need to get a handle on how much risk is in your portfolio.
The risk that you have now.
Yeah, but you don't realize that you have.
Right.
I can't tell you how many people that come into the office are really, really surprised when they understand just how much risk they have.
You have a fancy, that's way beyond my understanding, a software program that basically calculates my risk and anybody else's risk.
It is. It's an institutional version of Morningstar.
Right.
And allows us to put your entire portfolio in there. And really, really talk intelligently about how much risk you have. And I got to tell you, it happens every single week when we're sitting down showing someone how much the risk they really have. It goes everywhere between being upset to being downright upset.
How do you grade the risk?
Well, if your portfolio right now that you have, that you've been told is a moderate risk portfolio, you told your advisor you don't want to lose big money because you're getting close to retirement.
Yeah.
If your portfolio can lose 40 to 50% of its value the next big downturn, that's a measurement of risk.
Yeah, well, that'd be a measurement of changing your underpants because, you know.
And your plans.
Yeah, because what's happened is for all of us who have had some measure of investment, we took a big hit on 9/11.
Right.
We took a big hit in 2007 and 8.
Right.
And maybe a moderate-sized hit during the last downturn.
Right.
So maybe 2.5 times you've taken a good solid whacking.
Yeah, and you got to believe. Well, you know, I've been uncomfortable with this market for the last couple of years. When's the next big downturn going to come? And
we know it's going to happen. We just don't know when.
We don't know when. But if you're 5 to 10 years out from retirement, you really, really should be thinking about that because you've worked 40 years to accumulate what you have. If that gets cut in half, that's going to change your entire life. It's going to change when you retire, how long you have to work, how long you live in retirement. It's going to be a big change. So wrapping your arms around risk, making sure that you're at the right risk, lower risk, and also creating income that you can depend upon in retirement, Those are the two big issues.
Right, and those are the things that you walk people through.
Yeah, this is what we do. We do planning for retirement, and then we implement those plans.
Somebody brought this up once, and I've never had a chance to ask you this. You know how you can go to a top-flight psychiatrist or therapist, and their home life's a mess. Or you can go to the best mechanic in the world, but his car's not running.
It's like the cobbler's.
Cobbler's wearing the worst shoes.
Yeah.
So if I look at your retirement, are you in good shape?
We are.
Yeah.
We are, yeah.
How often do you check your own?
Although I don't plan on ever retiring.
No, because you love what you do.
I love what I do. But we're in good shape.
How often do you check your own?
Quarterly.
Yeah.
Quarterly.
Because you make yourself
going
nuts if you're looking all the time, right?
Yeah, especially if you're trying to watch CNN. Or CNBC, right. I'm sorry. CNN too.
Well, CNN too, but it doesn't matter. Do we grade the wrong things when it comes to the market? We always look at the Dow, which are the 30 big board stocks. That's not the real economy.
No, it's not. And right now, there's really a split between, in my opinion, between the real economy and the market. Think about it. We're at all-time highs on the stock market right now. But does it really feel like the economy is at an all-time high?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
There's a big the economy there, and something's got to change. Either the economy gets a lot stronger or the market corrects downward.
And the thing you always remind people of as well is you may not think you're in the market, but everybody's in the market.
Everybody's
in the market.
401k,
money market account, your money being held by other people is being invested.
It is being invested.
Bill, when you put together a retirement plan and say, all right, you know, my target age is 62.
Right.
But as you go along and think, you know what, I'd love it to be 60. Do you find a lot of people changing, and is that possible or is that unattainable once you start toward that goal?
No, it's possible, particularly if you spend some time working on the income side of your portfolio. Think about it. What's the key to a happy retirement? It's not how high your stack of money is. I mean, some people think if my money stack gets high enough, I'll just pick at it in retirement and kind of hope that it lasts. Mm-hmm. The really, really key to a successful, happy, sleep-at-night retirement is having enough dependable income coming in each month that you can pay your bills and then some.
Right, and live the way you're accustomed to it.
But for somebody like Andre, who's 29,
yes, thank you.
When can she start thinking about retirement?
Today.
I can today.
Today,
okay,
yeah, absolutely. The sooner the better. But I'll tell you when she really, and this is way down the road, but when she's 5 to 10 years away from retirement, it better be the first thing in her mind when she wakes up.
Yeah, but you don't have to wait. That's the thing. People go, well, 5 to 10 years, I have time. Why wait, right?
That's true. That's true. The sooner you start, the better.
30 seconds before we run out of time here, but before we do run out of time, you've revealed the three big secrets of things that people need to be thinking about. What's the one big mistake people make when they come in?
When they come in?
Yeah. When they come in and sit down with you, is there a mistake you see over and over again? Is it, I think I'm good and I'm not good? Is it, I think I know more than you do and I'm going to tell you how this is done?
No, I think the biggest issue when people come in is kind of hoping that they're on the right track, but not but not really having a plan.
So looking for reinforcement. They come in, they sit down with you and go, boy, Bill, I sure hope you tell me I'm smarter than I think I am.
All my clients are smart.
Yes, they are.
Every single one of them.
Every single one of them.
Yes, sir.
Yes. All right, let me tell people what you're doing. If you're nearing retirement, this could be a confusing time, of course, as we're discussing here. But with the election, we don't know what's going to happen with
the
election.
Nope.
Global events that are out of our control and the current economy, which you just discussed, it's all going to affect your retirement.
It is.
So you want your mailbox to be able to make more money. You want to go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning and your mailbox had a good time and made more money. That's what you want. Bill Geiger is here to tell you Geiger Wealth Management understands and has an opportunity for you. You do this full-blown financial workup. So I come in and you'll look at all of it.
That's correct. And I know you're going to talk about this in a moment, but the next five callers that call in, I'm going to sit down with them personally, and we're going to do it on a complimentary basis.
Right. So normally you could charge a bunch of money for this, but this is free. Now, we want you to have some money set aside because this, it's stuff to work on. So a $500,000 nest egg, if that's the right word. But the next five callers at 800-681-2498, you'll make an appointment with them. You'll sit down. You'll go through. You'll do this full financial workup, and then you guys will decide if you're going to work together.
That's right.
That's how it works.
Exactly.
800-681-2498. Don't miss out on the opportunity with our friend Bill Geiger from Geiger Wealth Management. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Why don't you go buy a house today?
Good idea.
954. Bill and Wendy back on 720 WGN.